Welcome to the California League Research Project podcast with Mario Ramos. Here's your host, Mario Ramos.
What is up, and welcome to the California League Research Project podcast. I'm your host, Mario Ramos, joined today by the voice of the Visalia Rawhide, Jill Guerin. Jill, thank you so much for taking time to join the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Jill and I are going to talk about the upcoming 2023 season. It's opening day in Major League Baseball, so we'll talk about opening day in the minors, which is coming up, and look forward to what's in store for the Rawhide and for the Visalia fans making their way out to Valley Strong Ballpark. Before we get started, we want to remind you that you can catch the California League Research Project podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter at Cal League Search. That's at Cal League Search. All right, so Jill, opening day today, right? Today's opening day in Major League Baseball. Opening day for the Rawhide is April 6th. The Rawhide, the single-A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, will head out on the road for a three-game set against the Lake Elsinore Storm before making their way back to Valley Strong Ballpark for their opening homestand against the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. So what's kind of like the buzz in the building or at the ballpark there? What's the building like? How's the Rawhide front office feeling about the upcoming season?
I think we're just excited. You know, it's exciting to finally have baseball. I know there's a lot of buzz whenever it's Major League Baseball opening day. All of the TVs in the office right now have baseball games on it. Everyone's talking about it. But, you know, we're still working really hard where we have very few days until we have season start. In fact, our players are breaking camp on Saturday, so things are getting real fast here.
And about that, do you guys have a roster in place yet? Do you guys know who is going to be making their way out there to Visalia?
We don't have an official roster yet. We basically are just waiting for the Diamondbacks to give us the official roster. But, you know, of course, there's rumors of who's going to be here and everything. I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm hopeful, of course, that the big name Drew Jones will be here.
Yeah, that's one that, you know, a lot of people are looking at, one of the top prospects in the Diamondback system. I think he's rated number 3 currently right now. A lot of eyeballs trying to figure out where he's going to end up.
What I can say about it is he did not have a single start last year in the Complex League.
Yeah.
And one thing that Rawhide fans can be excited about is he had the exact same injury as Jordan Lawler in 2021 that ended his season. And Jordan Lawler started with the Rawhide opening day 2022. So it's looking good that we'll have Drew Jones, provided that he is healthy.
Nice. Something to keep an eye on there as the season gets started here pretty soon. So you mentioned, you know, a lot of pageantry, optimism that surrounds opening day. What's your favorite part of opening day?
Just having fans back. We had our season ticket holder pickup party this week, and it's just so much fun to have them back in the ballpark. It's such a family atmosphere. That's the whole point of minor league baseball, is to see these players up close, to have family, affordable entertainment. Again, it's really just a extension of family. So being able to have all of our normal fans back in Valley Strong Ballpark will be amazing.
Yeah, and that's important in the history within that community, right? Visalia has had baseball for quite some time in that area. And like you mentioned, you know, just that community support is really what's kind of kept it going.
Absolutely. I mean, you compare us to teams like the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes or the San Jose Giants. Their fans are Dodger fans and Giants fans. Our fans are Rawhide fans.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's a little unique in that sense. And then obviously Fresno kind of came into play a little bit. That's got to add a little, you know, spice and a little, you know, rivalry to that area.
Yeah, it brings a nice little rivalry. We finally have a commuter trip, which is great for our fans, where they can go experience another ballpark. The Fresno fans can come experience all ballpark because they're extremely different parks and stadiums. But they don't have to get a hotel. It's just an easy commute.
Yeah, can you kind of expand on that a little bit, the uniqueness, I guess, of your guys' ballpark? It's kind of maybe, you know, accentuated a little bit more, like you said, when you compare it to Fresno's, which was a, you know, designed to be a triple-A ballpark. Now they're a single-A team. So obviously they have, you know, a few more amenities than some of these other California League teams may have. But just kind of touch on the ballpark and that, you know, what it means to the Rawhide and that community in general.
Right. So our stadium is old. You know, I mean, we've had minor league baseball here for almost 80 years now, and it's this stadium's been around even before that.
Wow.
So it's a small ballpark. This is actually one of the closest seats in baseball because when it was built, you didn't have to have the however many feet away from home plate. So you're right on top of the action. That's one thing about my broadcast. You can sometimes hear the umpire or batter having a conversation.
That's awesome.
But also, we have a barn out in right center field. We have these amazing group outing areas. And again, it's all right on top of the ballpark. So it's an older stadium feel, but makes it feel really compact and personal.
You're listening to Jill Guerin, the voice of the Visalia Rawhide. You can follow her on Twitter at Jill Guerin. You can follow the Visalia Rawhide at Visalia Rawhide. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Cal League Search. You're listening to the Cal League Research Project podcast with Mario Ramos. So, well, what are some of the things that you guys have kind of geared up and, you know, lined up for fans to try to entice them to get out there to Valley Strong Ballpark this season?
So we have some amazing promotions this year. Our assistant general manager and director of ticketing, he said this is one of the best promotional calendars that he's been a part of. Wow. Opening week has a lot of different giveaways, but in particular, when we focus on day of the week promotions, Tuesday is Tuesdays where you can get $2 tickets, $2 tacos. Wow. My personal favorite is Thursdays. Now, every time we're going to rebrand as our COPA identity, which is Los Toros de Visalia.
Nice.
And on every Friday, we're going to have a replica jersey giveaway to the first, I think it is 250 fans in the ballpark. So really a lot of good information and good reasons to come to the ballpark.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, kind of way to show off that history, too. Like you mentioned, you guys have been around for quite some time, and there's been a lot of different iterations of Visalia baseball to go through that ballpark. So pretty cool that you guys are able to highlight that and showcase that to your fans.
Right. I don't know how else to say that this ballpark is special. It's fun. It's close. You feel like you're on top of the action. You're close to other fans. It's a family atmosphere with all of our season ticket holders. And again, it's family affordable where you can come here for only $10 for a ticket, or if you come on our special days for $2. We always have discounted beverages, food, there's activities for kids and families. It's the perfect family getaway.
And Mario Ramos here with Jill Guerin of the Visalia Rawhide. You touched on that COPA identity, the Toros de Visalia. You know, guys obviously play big into the cow and the farming theme there. What's your take on this? It's kind of seemed like it's really taken off, right? It kind of started off as maybe a little bit of a novelty, but it's really gained steam, and it seems like this Copa de la Diversión is here to stay.
Right. I think, oh gosh, I hope I get the year right. I think 2017 was the first Copa year. Either that or 2018. And Visalia was one of the first four teams to be picked for a COPA identity. So we have a lot of pride in being that. Yeah. And not only that, but the California League in 2019 was the first league where every single team had a COPA identity. So we love being able to do COPA. And you're right, it's really expanded to almost every single minor league team in the nation.
And Jill Guerin here, the Visalia Rawhide with Mario Ramos. She is the broadcasting and media relations manager for the Rawhide. So what does that entail, right? It's a nice title, sounds cool stuff. Obviously broadcasting, you mentioned doing play-by-play, but the other things, right? Media relations, maybe doing things like this, right? Reaching out and you know, kind of sharing the brand with other people. But what exactly does your job entail?
Well, you know, I think minor league baseball, you wear all different types of hats. Some days I'll be helping with community relations, social media, whatnot. But my main focus this year is the play-by-play for the broadcast, both on TV and on radio. And then, of course, media relations is doing things like this, where you're talking on podcasts, TV interviews, but also setting up interviews with players if media members need that. Writing press releases. I'm in charge of stat packs. Whenever there's roster moves, I have to be the one to update it and send it to Major League Baseball. So a lot of just small behind-the-scenes things that people don't know about.
And you mentioned kind of wearing different hats and maybe doing some other things. What are some of these odd jobs that maybe you found yourself doing? And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this.
I think bartending, all of a sudden, randomly, you need to help bartending during an event. You're I don't exactly help the grounds crew or anything, but when we have events, it's all hands on deck because we have to help move things to get an event ready. And I also was not ready to do sales my first year.
Yeah, there's always, like you said, just a bunch of things that you got to do in and around the ballpark when you're working in minor league baseball. So, you know, don't be surprised when they ask you to, you know, help out in areas that maybe you weren't, like I said, signed up for. So just kind of the nature of the beast. All right, so Major League Baseball has instituted some rule changes. One of the bigger ones, right, the 15-second pitch clock. I believe it's going to be 20 seconds in Major League Baseball, if I'm not mistaken. We have larger bases, no infield shifts. Well, what's kind of your take on the rule changes? I know we've had some of these rule changes instituted in the California League as kind of like a, you know, a trial run to see if Major League Baseball would institute them, and apparently they are. So what's your take on this and how those kind of played out this last season?
Right. I don't necessarily consider myself a baseball purist, but I was on the train of we don't need to change too much. But I've enjoyed the changes, particularly the pitch timer, because I'm doing a broadcast all by myself. I prefer talking for only 2.5 hours versus 3 hours.
Yeah, I did it.
And to be honest, with it being started so early in these guys' careers, it's not going to affect them that much. The most negative comment I've heard is some pitchers don't feel like they can go through all of the signs with the catcher, but that means you should just have a better game plan and better communication with your catcher, you know, before you actually enter the game.
Makes sense.
I think the pitch clock was not implemented properly over the last few years at the minor league level. Every umpire kind of implemented it differently. So we did just get some new rules, or at least some specifications that I think will help it. Because again, some umpires would allow a pitcher to go a little bit longer or would allow them to disengage when other umpires wouldn't.
To that point, just kind of developing some consistency, getting these umpires on the same page. But I think you make a great point. These younger guys are going to be more accustomed to doing that. We're probably going to see some, you know, bumps and bruises, or, you know, just some growing pains within the major leagues as this is being instituted, though, right?
Right. There'll be some growing pains when the guys first get out of high school and college and come here and they have to figure it out. There'll be some growing pains in the major league level. But quite frankly, these are professional athletes. They need to be able to adapt. So they need to just figure it out.
Now, how about the pace of the play? You know, I think it's kind of picked it up a little bit. It's a little more engaging. At times, you don't necessarily even notice the pitch clock. I just think the action's just a little more, you know, concurrent.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think in terms of radio broadcasting, it can be difficult to start telling a story, but I think it does help the pace of play. The one thing that I don't like that some major league broadcasts are doing is they're showing the pitch clock like how you would see the shot clock in basketball. And I don't think that it should be like that, because to me, the pitch clock isn't supposed to hinder or improve the game. It's just there.
Mario Ramos again with Jill Guerin of the Visalia Rawhide. You could follow her on Twitter at Jill Guerin. Follow the Rawhide on Twitter at Visalia Rawhide. So, Jill, I was the PA announcer last year for the Modesto Nuts, and one of the cool things that, you know, is being up there in the press box and watching these games, you get to see different teams come through. You see different styles and different approaches, you know, to player development and, you know, game strategy as well. How would you describe the Arizona Diamondbacks' approach to player development as it relates to the minors, in particular A-ball there in Visalia?
I think the first thing that I thought of was kind of cautious, where if a player has a pitch limit, that is their pitch limit. It does not matter what part of the game it's in or the situation, that's their pitch limit. If they're only supposed to be playing a certain amount of days per week, that's it. It does not matter. Now, of course, they want to teach these guys to be competitive and want to win, but I don't think winning at this level is the main focus for the Diamondbacks in particular. Of course, the players and the coaches want to win because they are competitive athletes, but it is more about player development.
Just getting your work in, right? Seeing pitches, getting your at-bats. But like you said, kind of having that cautious approach to maybe why not necessarily overload these players at a young age?
Yeah, there's not very many players you'll have your three that play every single day. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have your top prospects. Like last year, Jordan Lawler had one day off a week, aside from the normal Monday off. Mm-hmm. Other guys like Wildered Patino, he might play for all six games. Mm-hmm. So it depends. But at the beginning of the year, they have a game plan in terms of how many games these guys are playing in a week, and they're sticking to it.
Joe Guerin again with Isalia Rawhide, the broadcasting and marketing manager, media relations, broadcasting and media relations manager for the Visalia Rawhide. She does a lot of play-by-play, not just baseball. You've had quite a busy off-season, right, doing some basketball games, some softball games. You even have some Major League Baseball experience to your ledger. You know, what has this, you know, preseason been like for you? You've been pretty busy, right?
Right. Well, I think the first big thing that I got to do in the off season was I made my MLB debut for the Diamondbacks.
That's awesome.
I did three innings of play-by-play at Dodger Stadium in September.
Wow.
And then I had a little bit of a break October, November, December. I would do some basketball, a little bit of soccer, but then February really just picked up with softball, basketball, and then I did go to Arizona for a spring training game for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, so shifting gears and being able to go through all these sports, you have to brush up on the rule changes right before you go on air?
Yeah, I needed to remind myself of what the difference for MLB versus MILB was, because I always joke I focus so much more on the Rawhide than I do on any other major league team that I don't remember which applies to minor leagues and which applies to the majors.
For sure, right? And then the fact that all these rule changes are new too, it just adds another little wrinkle to it. I saw a tweet that you had with the great Bill Cartwright, a little Northern California legend. Cracked me up. You said between the two of us, we had, I believe, six championship rings.
Yeah. So I got to work with Bill Cartwright for the Big West Championships. I broadcasted men's and women's games. So for the two men's games that I did, he was my analyst. And yeah, we have six rings together. He has five. I have one. One was for mine was for broadcasting. His was for actually being really good at basketball.
Yeah, he's a great basketball player. You're a great broadcaster in your own right as well. So don't sell yourself short. You guys did a great job on that broadcast. I was able to catch a little bit of that. You also got a chance to work with my guy, Greg Wong. He spent a little bit of time there with Modesto last year. You guys did some softball games together. I know that's kind of near and dear to your heart, right? Softball is a sport that you grew up playing.
Of course, softball was the game that I grew up playing. I started playing baseball at six, transitioned to softball at eight, and I played softball through college at Emerson College. I was a four-year starter. So being able to do softball is just always so much fun, especially as an analyst. It's just more laid back. I just watch the game and tell you what I see.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a really good working relationship with Greg Wong, so it's been fantastic to do UC Davis games.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good stuff. What advice would you give for a young aspiring broadcaster, someone that wants to be in your position one day, being able to, you know, like I said, go out and call basketball games with NBA champions and, you know, hang out with Greg Wong and analyze softball games? What advice would you give to a young aspiring broadcaster?
Just start getting reps. Even if you aren't hired for an internship or you're not able to get a summer collegiate baseball team gig, okay, well, you can still go to a high school game and just broadcast into your phone, or go to a minor league game or watch an MLB game on TV and just broadcast into your phone. Just because you're not getting paid doesn't mean you can't get reps.
Just getting out there and doing it, right? Learning by trial and error, making some mistakes, and figuring out how to get it better the next time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Joe Guerin, again, of the Visalia Rawhide. Their season's coming up. In earnest, they open up on the road again April 6th out at Lake Elsinore, and then they'll come back home on April 11th to take on the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, 6:30 at Valley Strong Ballpark. So go to VisaliaRawhide.com or MILB.com/Visalia for any information and tickets to go check out the Rawhide this season at Valley Strong Ballpark. Jill, thank you so much for taking the time to join the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thanks again, Mario.
I want to thank you guys for listening to the California League Research Project podcast. Again, follow me on Twitter at CalLeagueSearch. Be sure to catch more of the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcast. Special thanks to Joe Guerin of Visalia Rawhide. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.